Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from not one but two technology experts. That's not just what we call ourselves, it's what our moms tell people when they have no idea what iPhone came out, they just know they need a new one. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way, or a new iPhone or two along the way.
Ooh. Now, Noah, I got to jump straight in on the iPhone topic. I noticed that you went for the orange iPhone 17 Pro Max, and I got to question that because what made you go with that color?
First of all, I got to say, I feel like a YouTuber right now holding up two new iPhones. I feel like a regular Luke Miani over here.
Yes, sir. Woo. Now you got to do a thumbnail. Do one of those like...
Yeah, perfect. Oh, geez.
Yep, there you go.
Okay, well...
That's a classic.
Talk about the orange for a second here.
Right.
The orange. The orange. Yeah. Make fun of me all you want. Okay, here's the thing. We have three color options for the Pro phones. We have the orange, we have the silver, and we have the dark blue. To me, I don't know what it was. I was not a fan of the dark blue. I don't know Agreed. Exactly what it was. I just don't like the look of it. Okay. The silver, to me, looks like every Apple product from the last 10 plus years. It looks like a 2015 MacBook Pro. It looks like a unibody MacBook Pro to me. Mm, it's just the same old, you know, it's not Starlight or whatever. It's silver. It's the classic, love it or hate it, Apple silver. And so in my mind, I was like, I don't want the dark blue. I don't really like the look of it. The silver is kind of boring. I'm not a huge fan of it. It's safe. It's neutral. It's not bad, but I'm not a huge fan of it. And then there was just the orange left, and I wasn't sure if I was going to like it or not. It is definitely the boldest color. I wish it were more of a copper than an orange. And I will also say that when I look at it straight on, the orange border is kind of distracting. Like, if you look at it literally straight on and you see the, like, orange rim around it, it's a little bit weird. So I don't know how I feel about it.
I tend to agree. I personally think that I really frankly didn't think it was possible, but this year's color options are somehow worse than the pretty terrible color options that we've been dealing with for a while.
Yeah.
If we go back to like the last five generations, on the 12, we had that really nice Pacific blue.
That was great.
Then we had Sierra Blue on the 13. That was really lovely.
That was good, yeah.
There was then also the... What was the green color that they came out with halfway through the year? I can't remember
Forest
what they called it.
Forest or something? I don't remember.
Something like that. But that was a really good color.
Great.
That was honestly probably one of the best iPhone colors on the Pros that they ever did. Because then after that, it all kind of went to shit. The 14 Pro purple looked like muddy and gross.
Yeah.
The 15 Pro's natural titanium. The natural was okay, but I got bored of it very quickly because it was kind of just gray, you know? And then they also had that dark blue on the 15 Pro, which I didn't really like. Isn't that what you got, though? I can't remember. Or did you get natural?
I had the, what was it called? Desert titanium, I think. It was like the lighter one.
That was the 16, though.
Oh, you're talking about the 15?
Yeah.
I had the natural titanium on the 15.
Okay, me too. Because you had to, but got very bored.
I agree.
Especially the back. The sides were good, but the back was literally just gray. And it was not... In all the marketing materials for the 15 Pro, it looked like it had that little titanium hint of gold in it. And the Apple Watch Ultra also had that like little bit of gold in it that I really liked. But the actual phone just looked gray. And then the desert titanium, again, was... I actually liked it. I think that was fine. But it wasn't like, wow.
Yeah.
And then this year, they somehow got worse than all of that.
Which is confusing to me because I feel like one of the things that I heard was like the titanium colors were not that great because it was hard to I guess it was just the titanium, like, rails or, like, whatever it was hard to color the titanium or, like, bond the color to the titanium, whatever it is. If we're back to aluminum, I mean, look at this. This is a bright honking orange. This is like, hey, hey, look at me. I have an iPhone 17. I have the newest one. Hey, look at me, right? Like,
yeah, literally.
You can do so many different colors with that if it's this good. And I will also say, dude, look at the regular iPhone 17. There are some good colors over there. That blue and that green especially. I love those colors. They look so good. Why does the Pro look so bad? And it's the same
freaking material.
Yeah, why does this look so bad?
I don't understand how we go from titanium, which, like you said, is harder to bond color with, back to aluminum, when we've had 800,000 very colorful aluminum iPhones over the past 10 years, mm-hmm. and they go, bright traffic cone orange, mud blue, or no paint. What? What do you mean? And I guess that I should explain now why I went for the silver. Mm-hmm. Number one, the frank answer is the orange is ugly and the blue is ugly and the silver is just an absence of color. Fair. So, wow, plain white rice. That's what I got. The other reason is because the thing is aluminum and I've had years of titanium that is so durable. Like, I've dropped those titanium phones many, many times. And, you know, from, like, chest height onto a wood floor, which is the most common place for me to be to drop a phone, like, they literally do not dent. I've dented floors. I haven't dented that titanium. And I'll tell you what, that is not going to be the case for this thing. Because, so Sam actually, I think I even have a picture of this somewhere, but Sam has the Orange Pro. Or that was one of the phones he got in Australia. And literally the day after launch day, this wasn't one of the phones that he dropped, by the way. It already had a chip in the paint. Like, he barely even touched the phone and it already had a chip. And I was like, hey, look, it's chipped. And he was like, bro, I didn't even move. Like, the phone barely left it. He set it up and put it on a table and it already is chipped.
Oh, no.
So I can just tell that in... Let's say about a year or 2 years from now, when these 17 Pros are on the used market, they're going to be rough. Because the other problem that aluminum phones have is even if you use a case, what happens is a lot of people buy their phone, and the same day they buy a case, they put that case on, and they never remove it for the entire 1, 2, 3, 4 years that they use that phone. And what happens is, inevitably, with whatever case you buy, dirt and dust and debris is going to work its way in, especially through the screen and down the sides of the phone. And it gets all over the case, but especially on the sides. And what happens is, if you keep that case on for 4 years, it leaves like these pock marks in the paint. I can probably find an example of a phone that I have in the other room that's like that. It's a 7 Plus. And the whole thing just looks like it was shot with like a pellet gun or something. And that's what happens to aluminum, because the paint is just, it's just a soft material with a soft anodization. And so I guarantee you, the 17 Pro and Pro Maxes are going to look like crap in a couple of years.
No, that's definitely fair. And I feel like that was one of the rumors that I heard as to why there's no black color, is because the dents would show up so much. I mean, there's a dark blue, so it's not like that's much better, but that was at least a theory. But yeah, I agree. The orange is definitely a lot. I don't know about this two-tone. It's weird. When I hold it, my finger rests right in this corner, and I'm constantly feeling where the two-tone, seam.
Oh, I know what you mean.
And it's, like, yeah. Kind of annoying. I guess you get used to it, but it's kind of annoying. And, like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about... And it doesn't feel as nice as the titanium, and it's just... I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. It's not...
The worst part for me... is that god-awful millimeter wave cutout on top of the phone. Because I was in Australia where they didn't have that, and I got back to the U.S. and I got my U.S. phone, and I was just like, oh, dude, what are we doing? Like, we have this whole camera plateau with antenna bands all the way around it so it can have the best cellular reception. But how are we going backwards? Like, on the iPhone 16 Pro, we didn't even have a millimeter wave cutout at all. It was super clean. There was just the bands on the sides, and that's it. You were good to go. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they where did they build in the millimeter wave? Was it built into the camera control?
I think so. Yeah.
So why are we not doing that?
I was also really surprised when I went in. I was on the East Coast for launch day, and so I walked to my local Apple store. It actually wasn't even on purpose. I just went for a walk, and then I realized that I was near the Apple store. So I went in there. I'm like, oh, let me look at the phones. And I was still waiting for my iPhone Air to be delivered. So I didn't. I like averted my gaze from the Air, but I did look at the Pro and the Pro Max. And I was very surprised. Like, when I picked it up, I was like, what the heck is, like, what is this thing? Or, I mean, I knew what it was, but I'm like, it's just funny because they never show this angle in any of the marketing material. Because I guess it's like, why would you? But then it's like, when you see it, you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. And there it is. Yep.
Yeah. So big. It's huge. It's bigger than the iPhone 12's millimeter wave cutout. I don't know, dude. And the thing for me is, it's like, it just seems like a complete spit in the face to their whole marketing. I said this in my unboxing, but like, over the past couple of years, Apple has established a hierarchy of materials, right? Aluminum is the poor people material. That's what everybody gets. That's the normal stuff. Then there's stainless steel. That's a little bit nicer. You got your stainless steel Apple Watch. You got your stainless steel iPhone rails. That was for the fancy people. And then 2 years ago, they said, hey, guess what? Let's go even a step above that. We're going to go to titanium. Titanium Apple Watch Ultra. Apple Watch with the premium material is now titanium instead of stainless steel. The iPhone was titanium. That set a new level of material hierarchy. And then this year they said, actually, aluminum, which we haven't used since 2017. Like, stainless steel was, you know, the iPhone 10. So how are we going back in time with materials that dramatically?
Yeah, I definitely feel like the Pro models this year are a lot more function over form. There's like the big millimeter wave cutout. There's the camera plateau that has the band that goes all the way around. There's the fact that it's aluminum, which I guess is theoretically better with heat dissipation, but like you said, it's not as nice of a material. So it seems like this whole thing is very much like a more utilitarian kind of approach, which is, I guess, just a different direction than the Pros. I feel like the Pros were always like, maybe what it is that the Pros were always like, it was the Pro phone. It was like the fancy phone, you know, whatever. But maybe, I guess, a lot of people buy Pros who don't, I don't know, maybe they're just pivoting the market, that it's not like the fancy, like the best thing anymore. The Air is kind of the fancy phone now. So like, we already have the fancy phone. This is going to be the workhorse, like the you know, function over form. Like I said, maybe the Air has kind of, you know, coming in as, cause them to pivot the Pro a little bit in that way.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And that's a great segue, because now we need to bring the Air into the conversation. And I think ultimately you're right. The Pro is not... Oh, look at that. Literally bringing it in from the side. Yes. The Pro was the phone that you got if you wanted the prettiest phone with the best materials, the smooth screen, all of those extra stuff. I just think it's a little bit interesting that in this one generation, the 17 and the Pros have converged. You know what I mean? Because now on the 17, you get the same thin bezels and you get ProMotion. You get the same materials, effectively. And, like, there's less caveats to the 17 and more caveats to the 17 Pro. They feel closer than ever before. And that's part of why I started to seriously consider the Air. Because you and I have talked about this many times. If people here have tuned in to previous podcast episodes, we both have kind of said the same thing about the Air. It seems really cool, but it's a non-starter. The battery, the single speaker, the single camera, it's not going to do it for either of us. But after the Apple event, I think we both kind of went, huh, that looks a lot more interesting than I gave it credit for. And might have to actually try that.
Yeah, I mean, we were both very skeptical about it. We knew there were going to be trade-offs, and there obviously were a lot of trade-offs. I think that the trade-offs that Apple did were strategic, and I think that overall they made the right trade-offs for given the constraints of this phone. And there are some pretty heavy, pretty strong constraints on it. I think that they did make the right choices. But even then, I'm still not fully convinced. Because just to be clear, I have these two phones right now. I'm only keeping one of them. And I still don't know which one I'm going to keep. So part of my goal with this podcast episode is to answer that question. So this is real. Mm. We're not just talking about this for fun. I actually genuinely am trying to make a decision here.
Okay, so well then let's break it down piece by piece, and we'll start with let's start with user experience, because you actually have been more flexible in the past than me. In my review, where I kind of talked through my decision, I mentioned that I've been the big phone boy the whole time. I had a 6 Plus, 6S Plus, 7 Plus, 10S Max, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all Pro Max. So I've never strayed from that in 11 years. And I've held the Pros, I've tried the Pros, the battery was always underwhelming, and the screen was always just a little bit too small. But you've gone back and forth a little bit. So how do you think the Air fits into that from a user experience perspective?
Yeah, so just for some context, I guess when the big phones became an option, you know, starting with the 6, I had a 6 Plus, I had a 6S Plus, then I went down to the iPhone 10 because there was no bigger option at the time. I had the 10. Then I had the 12 Pro, the 13 Pro, and the 14 Pro. So that was four phones. I skipped the 11, I skipped the 10S, and I skipped the 11. But I had four phones that were Pro sized. And then the 15, 16, and now 17 I have Pro Max, so I switched a couple years ago. So I have gone back and forth. And I will say, I think that this is a great screen size. It's right in between, maybe not right in between, but it is in between the Pro / regular 17 and the Pro Max. It's 6.5, what is it, 6.3, this is 6.5, and then it's 6.9. So it's not quite right in between, but it's a little bit bigger than the regular ones. And I feel like this is a great screen size. I've been using this phone pretty much exclusively. I actually only started using this, the Pro Max, today. I unboxed it today, and I set it up because, I've been exclusively using the Air for the past week, I guess, a little over a week. And I feel like the screen size is great. I don't feel like I'm really missing too much. Like when I'm watching a video or something, I think it's big enough. It's really nice to hold because a combination of the screen size and the fact that it's so thin is a lot more comfortable to one hand and to reach your hand all the way across and around and whatever. It's more comfortable to hold. So I really like it. My only thing that I've noticed is at the very top, the dynamic island is further down than the other phones. And you've noticed that some of the UI gets a little bit messed up because of that.
Yeah, there are definitely some apps that aren't perfectly optimized for that yet. And I've definitely noticed, well, the big one is in YouTube videos. Now, I would pull this up, but it's going to do stupid AirPods stuff, so I can't. I got to disable that automatic switching feature. It's so annoying. But in, at least I'm pretty sure for my videos, and maybe you can pull this up so it doesn't take away my my AirPods, I edit all of my stuff in a slightly widescreen format. So normal 4K is, what is it, 3840 by 2160?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah, 3840 by 2160 is the normal. I upload in 4096 by 2160. So the same height, but just a little bit wider. And part of why I do that is when people watch it on their phones, it just fills the screen just a little bit more. And it basically goes right up to where the notch was, where the dynamic island was. And on the air, it does eat into it just a little. There's like just a little tiny bite taken out of the side. So that's a little bit annoying, but kind of like, I don't know, not a huge deal for me. I do 100% agree with what you said. And I think that it's interesting because I have a lot of friends coming to the Air from the Pro Max and a lot of people coming from the Pro. And it's funny because I really think that with this device, the best part about it is the form factor. This is kind of the Goldilocks phone, both in terms of its weight, its thinness, and the screen size. I have always looked towards the Pro because people are like, oh, I can use it one-handed. And with the Pro Max, I will be the first to admit that that thing is beefy. It is very difficult to one-hand a Pro Max. And like if I'm using it in bed, especially when I'm traveling or whatever, and I'm holding it above my face like this, like with one hand, you can kind of do it if you kind of use the meat of your thumb here. But it starts to hurt. You feel it in the pinky. Like, it's not the best. The Pro, though, was always too small for me. 6.1, now 6.3 inches. I always just felt cramped. And I was like, I can't seriously consider using this. But at 6.5 and this thin, my goodness, dude, they solved it all. It's more one-handable than the Pro Max, but it's less cramped than the Pro. It's lighter than both of them. And it's so, like you said, the fact that it's thin makes it really comfortable to use one-handed because, like, if I hold it at this angle, look at how it fits in the, like, elbow of your hand there. You get a really good grip on this thing without resting a ton of weight on your pinky. Oh my God, dude. It just feels better to use than any other iPhone I've ever picked up in my life, straight up.
No, every time I pick it up or even just look at it, I'm like, that is a nice phone. That is a sexy phone right there. Like, yeah, I think it's the screen size being right in the middle is great. The fact that it's, you know, ProMotion fully just as good as the other screens. I think that was one thing that we were a bit concerned about. We weren't sure if it was going to be ProMotion or not, or if it was going to be just as good, and it is just as good, and like that's really important. And yet it just feels really nice to hold. It feels really nice, like when you put it in your pocket, it's you know, so thin, and it's a little bit smaller, and it's just more comfortable to like have in your pocket. You know, if you sit down with it in your pocket, it's not as uncomfortable as the Pro Max, whatever. It feels great. They absolutely, and that's the thing that separates the Air from the other phones, and that was the important thing that Apple obviously needs to nail, and I think that they absolutely did.
Yeah, no, I think when I talk about the iPhone Air, there's a lot of people that have very reactionary comments down below where they're just like, how can you even consider using a phone with that small of a battery, with only the one camera, and without a second speaker? How can you even think about it? And look, I've never disputed any of those limitations. They're all absolutely valid. But what I'm saying is that the user experience, when I'm not at 20% battery trying to take a bunch of photos and videos or listening to stereo videos or whatever, all those other times, it is perfection. It is perfection. And I think really to me what it feels like is the future. I want there to be a time where you don't have to pick and you can get the range of cameras, the duration of battery, and the quality of sound without having to have a phone that's super thick and has a huge screen and very heavy. Like, if Apple were to figure out a way to get even just an ultra-wide camera and an extra couple hours of battery on this thing and another speaker, I'd never go back. I would never go back because it is just delightful. It's, dude, and I'm still, like, it's more than a week now, and I still, every single time I pick it up, there's a part of my head that just goes, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and this is why... This is the thing that makes it so hard for me that I can't choose, because one of my philosophies in life, or maybe not philosophy, but like the way that I sort of make decisions is I like to find the best for whatever category everything is that I have. I want to have like the best version of that thing that works for me. And once I find that thing, I'm like, this is the best backpack. Okay, this is my backpack. This is my one backpack. I'm going to use this backpack all the time. I'm going to take it everywhere with me. The backpack that I have, I got a second one of it just to have as a backup, because I'm like, I like this backpack. This is my backpack. If something happens to it, I have the exact same thing again that I can use. So I like to have the best one thing. It doesn't always work the best, but I don't want to have like, you know, a couple of options that are like each good in different situations. I want to have the best one that I can use in every situation so that I always have the best. Whatever. And when I say best, it doesn't have to be the best, most expensive thing. It's just the one that works the best for me. And so when it comes to the iPhones, it's usually been a pretty easy decision, but this makes it a lot harder because the Air is great in a lot of cases. It's the best phone in a lot of cases. But not in every case. And there are some times where you definitely want the Pro Max. And I'm not going to keep both of them because not only, you know, they're very expensive, but I want to have, you know, the best one thing for me. And and this makes it hard because there isn't one best phone this year. Usually there is, but this year I feel like there isn't. There's two phones that are great at some things, not as great at other things, and it's a trade-off.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And the thing is, I'm in a similar boat because basically I do now more than ever use the cameras on the iPhone a lot. Whenever I'm out filming for the car channel, I'm using all three, ultrawide, main, and telephoto constantly. And I know that the Air is just not going to really cut it for that, especially if I'm like, you know, I would run into issues when I'm on a road trip and I'm using Apple Maps for 8 hours. Like, the Pro Max was not enough battery. I was having to charge that on these trips. So the Air is just going to be laughably inadequate for that. So I think what I might end up doing is just keeping my 16 Pro Max effectively to use purely as a work phone, like using it to control drone, using it to control follow cameras, using it to film B-roll out of the car. Like, it would almost not even be a phone at that point. It would just kind of fill the gap of cameras that I need. But apart from those details, and I may end up keeping the 17 Pro Max for that just so that next year I'll have, you know, a point of reference. But for day to day, I'm sold. I'm sold on the Air. Like, I've been switching back and forth. I did a couple days in Australia where I had, you know, Air in left pocket, Pro Max in right pocket. And I will say that whenever I do use the Pro Max, the big screen, I am like, dang. At my core, I do love a big juicy screen. But it's also a big juicy everything else. And that it just, once you hold the Air, everything else just feels old-fashioned. I think that's what it comes down to. And there's a comment here that's really funny because I see this every single Apple product that has come out since 2011. There's this remark. Would Steve be happy? would Steve have allowed this, you know? And the irony is that I think if Steve were still around and still in charge, every iPhone would be probably this thin. Compromise be damned. Because the number one priority for Steve was always, the customer doesn't know what they want, I know what they want. And what they want is the most perfect design, the most perfect user experience. I don't think that Steve would have allowed a 7-inch iPhone to exist in the first place. Straight up. Like, I know that that was a big... I think that's just a really interesting part about... Sorry to go on a tangent. When Steve Jobs died. Like, what a turning point in technology 2011 was, right? I think that was right before smartphones started to get supersized and people started to spend more and more and more time on them. And I really do wonder, like, how would Steve Jobs have adapted? Because we all know, like, he didn't even want to have a camera bump at all. Would he have caved and made a camera bump? Would he have made the whole phone an even thickness to be the same thickness as the camera bump? Would he have just compromised the crap out of the camera to make it fit? Like, I don't know. Any of those are very possible. But I do think it is funny how no matter what Apple does now, if it's not perfect, it's, Steve wouldn't have done that.
That's definitely true. It is, yeah, there are always going to be trade-offs and, you know, different. Steve is going to, you know, assess those trade-offs in a different way. I agree. I would be curious to see what Apple would look like today if Steve Jobs were still in charge. I think it would definitely look different. But regardless, you know, these are the phones that we have. So, you know, This is what we're going to work with here. I want to go through, let's go through the trade-offs of the Air one by one. Talk about them, see how big of a deal they are. Okay. Let's start with the single speaker, the lack of a dual speaker. How do you feel about that?
So in my day to day, it honestly is not a very big deal. Typically what I use the speaker for is vertical video. Like, I don't know. I never, ever, ever watch landscape content on my iPhone. Even if I had, you know, the Pro Max, if I'm watching landscape, I'm going to pull out at the very least an iPad. I want a bigger screen. And so the majority of the time I'm watching vertical video, and like the sound quality is fine. It's just not loud. And it's not super rich or super bassy. So it's worse, but it's not a deal breaker for me. The limitation that I find the most is when I'm with friends and I want to show them something, like I have to have that maxed out, completely maxed out. And even then, sometimes I find myself doing one of these again, doing a little hand cup to make it a bit louder, like we used to do back in the iPhone 5 days.
Yeah.
And so... yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, but I personally don't find it to be a deal breaker. What do you think?
I think it's really funny because I watch a lot of vertical video content on my iPhone. So I'm like the exact opposite of you. I don't watch any vertical video.
You mean you watch a lot of landscape?
What did I say?
You said you watch a lot of vertical.
Oh, well, let me try that again. I watch a lot of landscape video on my phone, and I watch no vertical video. I don't use TikTok or Instagram or whatever, but I watch a lot of YouTube, not YouTube Shorts, but regular YouTube, and sometimes even like random. I'm watching some random like TV show on Paramount Plus on my phone because it's not like a super involved thing that I need a big screen for it. It's something to watch. So I watch a lot.
Why not at least do an iPad? Like, you have an iPad Pro. Why not just pop that over there?
I don't know. It's just, I like holding my phone. It's like easier to hold the phone. I usually watch it like when I'm in bed, like if I wake up in the morning or maybe right before I go to bed. I guess I could use my iPad, but I'm like, you know, it's a smaller screen and it's like right in my hand. I don't know. So that's what I do. I watch a lot of landscape video content. And so I definitely noticed the lack of the second speaker. I was trying it out a little bit with the Pro Max just to see how big of a difference it is. And it definitely is a difference. I don't think that it's a deal breaker. It's obviously not ideal. I think it's one of the compromises that Apple had to make. And I think it's a reasonable one to only have one speaker. I'd rather, like, of all the things that Apple has to cut in order to make this phone work, I think a second speaker is not the end of the world for them to cut. So I agree with everything that you said. I don't think it's a deal breaker. Slight positive that I've noticed is that I can hold my phone by the bottom and I'm not blocking a speaker anymore.
Yes. Yes, that's a big one. That's a really good point. Especially with the Pro Max and even in vertical, like oftentimes if you're holding it with the pinky and you accidentally hold it over here, you cover the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, no, you're right. Because in landscape too, like you always have to kind of do one of these type of grips. Little claw grip where you're grabbing the sides. And on the Pro, on the Air, like sometimes I'll just hold it one-handed like this, fully covering the complete bottom, and it no impact. A slight consolation to be sure, but
yeah,
that's definitely a valid point.
No, exactly. Okay, speaker is unfortunate. I think it's one of the first things that Apple will be able to fix eventually. I don't think it's that, you know, it's just there wasn't enough room. They wanted more room for the battery. I think if they can make a little bit more room, they can fit a second speaker down there. Maybe next gen, maybe two gens will have it. Not a deal breaker. Okay. What else? The two big ones are obviously the cameras and the battery. Okay, let me ask you this. I feel like my Air runs pretty hot. Does your Air run hot?
I mean, it definitely does run warmer. But it's not crazy. I don't know, dude. So it's funny you mentioned that, actually. I ran some thermal tests. I got a little thermal camera action going on for tomorrow's video. And the Air ran 0.7 of a degree warmer than the 16 Pro Max. So, like, kind of negligible, in my opinion. And because it's so high up, it's like all the heat is up here. So it's like I don't really feel it when I'm using the phone.
I feel like I do notice because I feel like it's most of the heat is right under the plateau and maybe on the plateau too, but especially right under the plateau, I feel the heat. And I feel like when I'm holding the phone, I do feel it. And I guess it's not like a big deal. It's not like it's too hot for me to hold the phone. But just whenever I feel that, I'm just reminded of like, oh yeah, this thing doesn't have that big of a battery. And if it's getting hot, that means the battery's draining. And it just makes me think, okay, let's talk about the batteries. Let's talk about the battery capacity. You have had more experience. I mean, we actually both have been traveling. Like you were in Australia, I was on the East Coast. So I have traveled a little bit with the phone. I don't think that the battery is that bad. It's definitely noticeable. It's definitely less than the Pro Max, but I don't think it's that crazy bad. How has your experience been?
Honestly, same. Like, look, I woke up, admittedly, I did wake up pretty late today. I woke up at like 10. I normally wake up earlier than that. I know I was kind of bad, but I'm at 48 right now. Like, I don't think I'm going to need to charge before bed. And now granted, I do definitely have lower screen time than I think most people do. Yeah, I'm right now at 3.5 hours of screen active. So not a ton, but that's honestly about typical for me. And at least in the Pro Max days, I guess at this point in the day with the Pro Max, I'd probably be sitting at like 65 versus 48. So yeah, it's 100% noticeable. I would say that the most that I have felt about the battery on the Air has been late afternoon anxiety if I'm out all day. So when we were in Australia, for example, and I would wake up at 9 and you know, we're going out, we're doing something. We would go take a drive out to go take some pictures, test the cameras out. We're going to be out basically from 10 a.m. until 9 p.m. Those types of days are where the air started to get me a little bit anxious, because granted, I was also using the phone a lot more because I was literally testing it, right? So then I had 5 or 6 hours of screen time. And yeah, then by 6 p.m., I was under 30%. And that's where you start to go, okay, if I'm at 30% now, I can probably make it, but I don't want to be, you know, running on fumes by the time I get home. I'm always someone who, if I'm leaving the house, I don't want to be leaving under 30%. Because you never know, right? So I could see that when you're traveling, end of the day, might get a little nervous. And even if I'm just using it around here, around LA, I have had one or two times since being back, actually just the one time. I've only been back for 5 days. But I did have one time where I was like, let me plug in for 10 minutes before I head out, just to pad it a little bit so I don't have to worry.
Yeah, I feel like for me personally, I am a battery warrior. I always am thinking about the battery life. I was in Mexico a month ago, a little bit more than a month ago, with obviously I had the 16 Pro Max at the time. And that phone, you know, that battery was totally fine. But I still, every time I left the hotel, I brought a external battery with me. Just because I had a small crossbody bag, and I had my passport and some money and like a couple other things. So I'm like, I'll stick, you know, a 5,000 milliamp hour battery in there. It's pretty small, slim, whatever. So I, even with the 16 Pro Max, I would still carry a battery around. And I never used it in Mexico. I never needed to use it because that phone had, you know, perfectly fine battery life. But I'm that much of a warrior that I still carried it around with me. And so I'm so conflicted with the battery life, because I know that I'm a worrier and I know that I'm gonna be thinking about the battery life a lot, but I also know that, like, if I'm somewhere international or if I'm traveling or whatever, there's a decent chance that I'm gonna have a battery with me anyways, or I'm gonna at least be thinking about, like, when I'll have the opportunity to charge, whether I have the 17 Pro Max or the Air. And so at that point I'm like, how much does it really matter which phone I have, right? Even if you have the Air, you know, with Apple's MagSafe battery, not saying you should buy that thing, but like they say that the iPhone Air with the MagSafe battery is better than the Pro Max. You would hope that an iPhone with two batteries on it is, you know, better than an iPhone with one battery. But besides the point, it is better. And so if I'm carrying this thing around with a 5,000 milliamp hour external battery, that's going to be plenty of charge that, like, at that point, it doesn't matter whether I have the Pro Max or the Air. And so maybe I'll end up bringing the battery a bit more often than I would, or I'll end up, you know, like you said, charging for 10 minutes before you go out more often than I would. But I just can't tell how big of a deal it's going to be. I think the one real unknown is, how is this battery life going to be in a year from now? Is it, you know, after the battery has degraded a bit, is it gonna become, you know, unusable?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's my big fear as well, is like, I find it to be not really an issue now, but yeah, I think in a year's time, one of the things that the Pro Max affords is not really having to fast charge it. One of the ways that I have maintained really good battery life on my Pro Maxes has been, I MagSafe charge them overnight, which is, you know, using Apple's optimized charging. So it charges up to 80 and then it waits and then it charges to full. It's nice and slow, 7.5 watts. And then during the day, almost never do I have to plug it in to charge it up. But with the iPhone Air, I have, like, you do kind of need to give it a bit more of a quick charge every once in a while. And, I don't know. I do think that it is going to get worse and probably quicker. But to your point about bringing a battery, I think a lot of people probably overestimate the battery necessity that they have. Like, it hasn't been that different. One of the most interesting tests that I ran was on my first full day with the phones. I had the Pro Max in the right pocket, the Air in the left, and I wanted to get an idea of real-world battery usage. So what I did was I just made sure that everything that I did on both phones. So I would sit there scrolling Twitter, whatever. After 10 minutes, I'd be like, okay, put that away, switch phones, same thing, right? So obviously it's not going to be perfect one-to-one, but more or less, I did the same amount of screen time. I was within 10 minutes on screen time. I'm sure it was, you know, maybe more Safari on one or more TikTok on another, whatever. But what I do with both phones, I did on both. And by 7:30 p.m., if I remember correctly, I was at 20%. Like literally, we got back to the Airbnb at 7:30. Boom, 20% battery notification came up on the Air. And the Pro Max was at 33. And what I think is so interesting about that, what I said in my video was, look, if I've been out all day working, hanging out with friends, going for a drive on a Saturday, whatever it is, if I get home at 7:30 and I'm at either 20% or 33% and I have something else that I'm going to do that night, I'm charging either way. I'm going to plug in whether I'm at, you know, anywhere under 40, I would probably be like, yeah, let me juice it up just to be safe. Or if I'm staying at home, and then it doesn't matter because I can plug in whenever I want, right? The idea is I want it to get through the day. And for the most part, that's going to be probably about 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. whenever I'm going to be away from a charger the most. And the Air can do that. It can. And to be honest, anecdotally, I think the Air was doing better than some of the people that I was there with that had 15 Pros, not Pro Maxes. They were dying. I was fine. Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I think the battery, I think it's going to end up being good enough. It's not as good as the Pro Max, for sure. It's it is a trade-off, but I think, you know, you have plenty of opportunities to charge easily. Like you stop at home. Maybe you wouldn't have to charge with the Pro Max. You do a quick charge with the Air. Not that big of a deal. For me, you know, if I'm out somewhere internationally, I'm going to be carrying my little crossbody bag and I'm going to put a battery in there regardless. And maybe I wouldn't use the battery with the Pro Max and I do use it for a bit with the Air, but like,
right,
whatever. That's why I brought the battery. And it's just MagSafe. You just stick it on the back. It's not that big of a deal. So I feel like the battery life, that was the biggest concern, I think. And I feel like it's okay. I don't think that I need the Pro Max just because of the battery. And we'll sum this all up at the end, but there's still a little bit more. I want to talk about the cameras, the big one, but I also want to talk about for the cellular, the Air does not have the millimeter wave 5G, period. Doesn't support it at all. And I feel like, anecdotally, the cellular service, the networking in general, has not been quite as good for me. I've had issues where, like, sometimes I would expect to have service and I don't, or sometimes it'll say that I do have service and it doesn't load. And I know that that happens even on other phones too, but I feel like anecdotally it feels a little bit worse on this phone. I'm not sure if that's actually true, but it feels a little bit worse. Have you had any issues like that at all?
To be honest, I haven't really found it to be a limitation worth noting. Maybe it is a little bit worse, but I honestly the biggest one for me was, you mentioned it doesn't support millimeter wave. That I literally do not care about at all. Like, I don't know, dude. I don't think that I have noticed the difference having versus not having it. Like, when I'm out and about, it seems to work about the same. So I don't know. And again, I think a lot of people have been saying, you know, like, where was a good, there was a good comment in here that, that expressed what it seems like when you look at it on paper. Here we go. The iPhone Air is simply too large. It's just a thinner iPhone Plus with some extra downsides. And like the thing is, when you look at a phone as a box of specs, that is 100% true. Like, you are giving up features in order to achieve that phone. But I don't know how to, I don't know how to describe it other than you have to use it. If you're thinking about an iPhone Air, but you keep looking at the specs and you're like, oh, I don't know about this, like, take advantage of that 2-week return period. Like, go buy it, swap your SIM into it, use it for 10 days and see how you feel. Because I really do think that this is just like the ergonomically perfect phone, to where I acknowledge and agree with all of the limitations. And I get that it sounds ridiculous for me to say, oh yeah, you know, I'm just giving up several hours of battery life, better cell reception, I'm giving up speakers and cameras, and the dynamic island is lowered down, the bezels are slightly thicker. That's another thing that we didn't even remember to mention until just now. Like, yeah, it is worse in every measurable way, but it's just the experience of using this phone, slipping it into my pocket and being like, oh, it's not even there. It doesn't ruin the, if you're going to a wedding, right? It doesn't ruin the line of the crease down the center of your dress pants. These Pro Maxes always be bulging out of whatever you put them in. This came, it fits in everything. It's so thin. I was at an event yesterday and I handed my phone to a couple people, and every single time they were just like, whoa, this thing is crazy. Like, I haven't heard that in years, years. Most of the time people wouldn't even know if you have the new iPhone. I haven't had, actually, that's a good point. I have not been asked, whoa, is that the new iPhone, since probably like 2018. Because they've all been kind of uniform. And it's like, and I've also noticed that people don't even know what iPhone they currently have. People are like, I think it's a 12 or a 13. I don't really know. Like, everything, the pros especially, are just so uniform and so similar that they don't really stand out. But this phone does, because it looks different. It feels different. People go, wait a minute, I like this. This is how a pro person could go to a bigger screen and not feel overwhelmed. This is how a Pro Max person can get a lighter weight phone without feeling cramped. It just solves so many problems that are, let's call them the intangibles. The intangibles are what the iPhone Air has nailed. The feel, the look, the weight, the ergonomics. But the tangibles, the battery, the speakers, the cellular, the cameras, undeniably worse. It's such an interesting phone.
It really is. And I think the thing for me, because like people will ask me, I've shown it to, you know, a bunch of my friends and, you know, my parents, my mom was thinking about getting a new phone and she wasn't sure which one to get, you know, the age old question. And so like when we talk about it, it's very easy to point out all of the negatives. And I guess we've been doing a lot of that on the show, but, or, you know, on this episode, but I think it's also worth talking about what you get, right? You get the titanium side rails. It feels really nice. I think this phone feels nicer, regardless of, you know, being thin and small or whatever. I think it just generally feels nicer and more premium than the Pro and Pro Max, in my opinion. It feels nicer.
Agreed.
I think it looks nicer. There's better colors. I think all the colors on the Air are pretty good. All the colors on the Pro and Pro Max are pretty bad. So you get better colors, better color options. I think it just looks really clean. I know it's only one camera, but it looks very clean with that one camera on the back. I'm not a huge fan of the two-tone. There's no two-tone here. It's just, you know, very, very, very nice and simple. And you get this 6.5-inch screen that you don't get on any other model. It's a little bit bigger than the regular 17 and the 17 Pro. It's a bit smaller than the Pro Max. It really is the Goldilocks, like you said. And I feel like it's a really nice form factor. It's a really nice size. And so you definitely do get some things. You lose a lot. You lose a lot, like you said. But you do gain some things. And it really is, at the end of the day, about the intangibles, like you said. Just the way that it feels to hold in your hand or to put in your pocket or whatever. It really is such a nice phone and a unique phone, which we haven't had in a while.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. This is a great comment here from, oh, hi, Mark. When I used the Air for the first time, it was like when we went from the 3GS to the 4. It has the aura of peak 2000s Apple in all the best ways. I think that's a great example because, like, I mean, think about it now. Going from the 3GS to the 4, you got front-facing camera, better rear-facing camera, Retina display, Apple Silicon, faster chip. That was the first Apple Silicon iPhone. Boom, right there. So, like, yeah, obviously there was a lot of stuff going for the iPhone 4, but I don't think it's an understatement to say that a lot of what made it such an iconic phone was the intangibles, the look, the feel, the quality, that glass sandwich with the stainless steel rail, despite AntennaGate having, you know, somewhat of an impact on that. That's part of what has always been, that's part of what's gone into all of the most iconic Apple products. Like, think about the MacBook Air. The original MacBook Air was a huge compromise. It was horrible. They had iPod hard drives. They had 2 gigs of soldered RAM when everything else was upgradable. They had the screens fell apart. They thermal throttled like crazy. The battery life was terrible. Like, it was a bad product on paper. But what it did was kind of introduce the idea of like, hey, what if a laptop was extremely thin and powerful? And what happened? Well, now the MacBook Air is the default laptop, right? So it's just, I think what the iPhone Air does for me anyway is it kind of, it's like Apple of the past in that it's a product of tomorrow today. And do they have to compromise to make it work with today's technology? Absolutely. But I think it's a snapshot of like, what if this was normal? What if all the phones were this thin, right? I saw somebody earlier that was talking about, oh, they should have used a silicon carbide battery. Or, oh, they should use a flatter sandwich lens so that they can make the cameras thicker. This is the type of product that leads those types of technologies to be developed. And I think the problem with where technology is right now is because things are very good, there's not a whole lot of incentive out there to change it, right? People have said very clearly for the past 5 or 6 years that they will gladly sacrifice on thin and light if they can have better battery life. So that whole Johnny Ive race to shave precious millimeters off went out the window completely. And you can make the phones bigger, thicker, heavier year over year, and people didn't mind because you had more features and more cameras and more battery and all that stuff. But the Air flips that and it says, wouldn't you actually kind of like it if your phone was radically thin and light? Wouldn't you kind of enjoy using it if it was like this? And for the few of us that are willing to take that leap and sacrifice a lot of core features, I'd say yes. And for the rest of us, this is kind of a tech demo for what hopefully will become a normal thickness for a phone without sacrificing on all those things. It feels like 2010 again, and I like it.
No, I completely agree. I feel like the Air, the phone that we got now, this year, last week, is a great phone already. It's just mm-hmm. you've said it feels so nice. Yes, there's trade-offs, but they've managed to pack a lot in there. It's completely usable and it's still great as it is. But I'm really excited for what it's going to look like the next model or two models or three models from then, because I agree, it gives Apple and the market in general something to do, right? Like you said, phones were getting thicker and bigger and we were adding new features, and some features were good and some features were, you know, kind of gimmicky, but like that's kind of the direction things were going in. But now we're like, I think Apple just kind of went, and Apple does this. They did this with like USB-C, for example. They're like, okay, USB-C on the MacBook Pro, like we're not waiting for the trend to happen. We're just doing it and deal with it. And it took, you know, it was annoying at first for a little bit, but now it's great and we're really happy about it. I feel like the Air is, maybe it'll be kind of similar to that. It'll be like, you know, it's super thin, so here are these sacrifices, deal with it for now. Give it a few years for the technology to catch up. We'll get additional cameras on there. We'll get the speaker back. If the cellular needs to be improved, it'll be improved. The battery life will get better. And like in a few generations from now, we'll have a phone that's, we don't need to, like I won't be sitting here trying to make the decision anymore. I won't have to choose between the Pro Max and the Air, because we'll have a phone that is just as good as both of them. And like, that's really exciting.
You're right. You're right. And I really hope that that is the case. Like my fear is that Apple gives this a try for a while and then says, it's too niche. People don't actually want that. Whereas I think if we go back to what somebody said earlier, would Steve be happy? I think Steve, weirdly enough, would probably want to go in this direction more than the current, right? I think Steve would have been less happy about the past five generations of Pro than about this iPhone Air. And I hope that Apple sees the response to it and goes, okay, how can we bring that over to the Pro? I'm not saying it needs to be 5.6 millimeters thick, but how can we push for technologies that allow us to bring the size down a little bit, you know, the Z axis, I guess. And I think silicon carbide batteries, that's a big one. Working on the camera lenses to make them thinner, which is not something they've really seemingly tried to do at all, because they've only gotten bigger, the camera bumps. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they just decide completely divorce the two and just have thick, chunky Pro, thin and light Air. But man, the Air, they got me.
They got you, and I think they probably got me. I'm not 100% sold yet, but I think I'm definitely, I mean, I've been using the Air for the past week and a week and a half or whatever, and I don't know, I opened the Pro Max today and I've only been using it for a little bit, but I don't feel like, oh, finally, you know, I'm back to a real phone. Let me get rid of that Air. I'm like, yeah, this is also a phone. It's, you know, there's also trade-offs, right? We're talking about trade-offs on the Air. There's trade-offs on the Pro Max too. And if that's the frame of mind that I'm coming into this with, then maybe the Air will, you know, be it for me.
Yeah. I'm going to give you some homework before we run for the day here, because I think, well, by the time that we're next on, it's going to be like probably mid-October, because I will not be here next or the following Sunday. But obviously your decision will be made by the time we are next on, and we'll discuss both that decision and the next step, which is the iPhone Fold. But your homework until then is, I think what you should do is tomorrow, put the Air away, put it in a drawer, out of sight, out of mind. Use the Pro Max exclusively. Get an eSIM or something so that you can use it on the go and just daily drive it and see how that compares after a week with the Air.
That's a good idea. I think that I would need to do that in order to fully make the decision. I think I'll do that.
And obviously, I'll know before all of these guys know, so I'm going to check in with you on that very soon. Yes. But everyone here will find out for our next episode. But unfortunately, for this episode, it is time to end. Thank you guys so much for watching. I have been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. Have a great night, and we'll see you next time.